So the book that I chose to do a review on today happens to be a book that I had never read before. I thought I had because I know Jim Stovall and I've met the man, but I've read some of his other books, but not this one. And it's called The Ultimate Gift by Jim Stovall. And it also was the TOMS, Tools of the Month. Our organization does Tools of the Month every month. I pick out a book for everybody to read so that we review it on our team calls, something that you can consider doing no matter how small your team is, even if they're just two of you. You've got a team, right? And pick out a book that you're going to read on a monthly basis. This book is only like 130 pages, 120 pages long. So how long does it take to read this book? Hour and a half, maybe? 2 hours? And this is also, Lydia said they've also made this book into a movie. So what a great thing. And when you see the substance of the book, you'll see why they did that. This is it's a story. It's a book. It's a book that's told through a story, and it has tremendous principles in it that can transform people's lives, which is why it's a kind of book Mary Jo would love. And here's a quote from Steve Forbes, who is the CEO, editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, multi-billionaire himself. He said, "This is a wonderful story, needed wisdom for young and old alike, written by one of the most extraordinary men of our era." The Ultimate Gift by Jim Stovall. So let's talk about what the setting is in the book. Well, the setting is there's a man, Red Stevens, a multi-billionaire, self-made man who gave his family everything, and basically, as he was in his 80s on his deathbed, realized that, you know, and probably earlier on in his life too, knew that he basically had ruined a lot of the people in his life. He loved them so much, he gave them everything, so they never learned any good lessons along the way about life. And a lot of them, they were greedy, they were spoiled rotten, they had no sense of what life is really about. Well, when he died, all the relatives showed up at the lawyer's office, and the lawyer, who was Red Stevens' one of his best friends ever, and was his lawyer for years and years and years. In fact, it's a cute story how they got to be lawyers. He was looking for a lawyer in his early stages of, you know, before he became even a name on the block, He went into the recent graduate class, and he found the lawyer that graduated number one in his class. And so he went over to his law firm, and he said, "You just graduated number one in your class. I want you to be my lawyer because I'm going to be the number one oil man and businessman in the state of Texas, and I want to have the number one lawyer as my lawyer." And that's how they cut out their relationship. Isn't that cute? Something really special. I guess I look at it fun because I'm being a lawyer myself, but it was just a great story in itself how the two of them got to know each other. So they're both in their 80s now. Red just passed away, and one of his best friends, who's a lawyer, had all the family come in for the reading of the will. And, you know, as they were going through and talking about all the assets being distributed, and most of them were like assets that were in trust, and the people were never going to have control of the trust, but they were just getting the income from it. But each one of the greedy relatives watched the division of the many assets. And then he had a special. One of the family members didn't get anything in the will, except he was singled out for something special, and it was Red's great-nephew named Jason. And his bequest was based on Jason performing over a 12-month period of time. He would come into the lawyer's office, watch a video the first of each month, these were pre-made videos by his great-uncle, and he'd watch Red Stevens, and he'd watch the video, and then he'd get an assignment, and then he'd come back a month later. And he had to work on this for 12 months. If he quit, he lost his inheritance, his special bequest. If he had a bad attitude and the lawyer decided his attitude was so bad that he's not making progress, that would be the same as quitting. So the lawyer was given a lot of leeway in all this. So that was the idea. And so you can imagine this little spoiled, rotten 20-year-old, you know, he was in his 20s, kid Jason is going, okay, all right, and he kind of like a real attitude about him, you know, he already had a beautiful house, he had everything because his great uncle had spoiled him rotten, college education, everything that was given to him. So he was a typical spoiled, rotten, bad attitude kid who had everything. So the first assignment, so he comes in every month. So the first month he went in and he watched the video, and the first assignment was called The Gift of Work, because Jason had never had to work a day in his life, right? He was never forced to do anything that that was in his life. There was never anything that he had to work hard at or do anything, you know, tough with, because he was, again, spoiled. So they flew to Texas. They were now located in Boston, by the way. They flew down to Texas, a lawyer and his secretary and Jason, and they delivered him to a ranch manager. His name was Gus. And they delivered him to Gus, who was another, like, best friend of Red Stevens over the years. So they flew him out to Gus, and Gus, they picked him up and took him out to the ranch, and Gus, you know, worked with him a little bit, and he thought, oh, my gosh, this guy's never going to make it. But they dropped him off, and he was left to dig fence poles for a whole month, for 30 days. A month later, they came back, and the ranch manager wasn't sure. The same guy, Gus, who wasn't sure he was going to make it the first go-around, he brought Jason out, and Jason was prideful about, look at this row of fence posts, and they were perfectly straight. And Gus's comment was, if you can do this kind of work with pride and quality, then you can do anything. I think you've learned your lesson. And so on the way back, Gus, instead of putting him in the back of the pickup truck, which he had done when he had picked him up from the airport originally, he drove a Cadillac, and he said, I can't have my best ranch hand in the back of a pickup truck. And that's how he treated Jason. So that was a real blessing, his first assignment, gift of work. The second assignment was called the gift of money. And it was learning about the value of money, again, that Jason never learned because, again, Red Stevens blamed himself as being this ultra-wealthy billionaire. He never taught these lessons. Kids always got everything handed to him in his family. So if he would have gotten paid by Gus at the ranch, he would have earned $1,500. So the lawyer gave Jason an envelope with $1,500 on it. And his assignment was to go out there and find five different people who are in a situation where part of that $1,500 could make a real difference. He said, quote, unquote, I want you to notice how anxiety caused by lack of money is affecting them in real ways. In real ways. It's a lesson of the gift of money. Notice it's a gift of money is the lesson. So what happened is, Jason went out, and he started looking around, and he goes, I don't even know where I'm going to find people, because who did he associate with? He wasn't associating with people that had a lot of anxiety because of lack of money, because he was part of the rich, the wealthy. So 30 days later, he came back and reported in. He went to a car wash one night, and there were inner-city kids there trying to raise money to go to a jamboree. And they were at the end of the night, there was like 20 minutes left, and they were still $200 short in raising the funds they wanted to raise. So he drove his car through the car wash, and he gave them a $200 payment on a $10 car wash or something. And they were ecstatic, and he saw the joy and all this stuff because he had seen the anxiety around where they were with 10 minutes left that they were $200 short to do this jamboree, their goal. Then he went to the mall and looked for a parking place. A tow truck was there with a crying woman and a baby next to her in the car. She was holding a baby next to the car. The tow truck was hooking up the car, and he got jumped out, and he was like, what's going on here? You know, and the woman's crying. She has her baby, and the guy's repossessing. He says, hey, we sold her this car, and she didn't make the last two payments, so we're repossessing the car. And the woman was crying. She said, my baby's been sick. I haven't been able to work, da-da-da-da-da. And so she missed two payments. So he ended up finding out the total loan was only $400 left on the balance. So he paid off the $400 loan. The guy put the car down, and he blessed this lady. The next day he was in the mall. He saw a family with two small boys. The mom said, kept telling her boys, no, 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 you can't have that. You can't have that because their dad had lost his job. So Jason went over to her and handed her $300 to buy the boys some gifts. The fourth person was an older woman crying in the mall. Her husband, before he left the mall, her husband needed heart meds, and the pharmacy in the mall wouldn't take her food stamps. So he gave her $200 to make sure that she could cover the medication her husband needed. And then the final one was, while driving one day, a car was broken down the road, so he stopped, met a young man, called for the tow. When he got to the shop, the mechanics and the engine needed to be replaced. The kid was a student, needed to get back to school, didn't have the money, so Jason gave the $700, which it cost, to replace the engine. And those were his five stories. And what was so neat is the lawyer said, well, Jason, that added up to $1,800. And Jason's comment was, well, I put $300 of my own money in. Wasn't that beautiful? What a great lesson learned. So the lawyer was satisfied Jason learned that lesson. The third assignment was a gift of friends. and Jason was, you know, he still had the bad attitude. He still was kind of, you know, uppity and arrogant, but he was willing to continue. And he would bug him from time to time about what is this ultimate gift I'm going to get, because he was so anxious to get the inheritance that he wanted to know whether this was all worth it, all these experiences. So he wasn't quite getting all the value from his experiences yet, was he? So the next one, he talked about the gift of friends. Red told a story on the video about how he needed a kidney transplant, and his lawyer was the one who stepped up and donated it. He didn't even know it till after the fact. So his task this month was to spend 30 days observing, finding out what you feel to be the principles that underlie true friendship. And I took a quote out of the book from time to time. There are so many great ones in there. But he said, you will never do anything in your life that will bring more quality to your existence than growing to understand and nurture friendship. It's a great statement. So it's kind of like all of us look around and say, who are our best friends out there? Who do we have in our realm of friendship? If that's the greatest quality to our existence is growing and to understand and nurture friendship. So when he came back after 30 days with this task upon him, he said, he described to them, friendship involves loyalty, commitment, and a process, including sharing another person's life. Then he also went back to describe the relationship between Gus, at the ranch, the guy who headed up the ranch, and Red Stevens, his great uncle, who were like absolute tight friends, because they had, when his great uncle Red started in the cattle business, he had a ranch right next door to Gus. And he heard the story about Gus when the first year, and they had become close friends just living across and all this stuff. And the first year they had the calves were coming in, and that's how they grow their herds of cattle. And Gus was so worried about Red in his first year ranching that he went out there, and when they were branding the calves, Gus branded 30 of his new calves with Red's brand, since he was afraid Red wouldn't make it. And so the story went on that when Red got done with all of his branding and he counted up all his calves, he had 20 more calves than were birthed in his group. I mean, and he never knew how it happened. He never figured it out. And Gus never, I guess Gus didn't tell him for like 20 years or something like that. So, because that's what friends do. We just go out of our way to do something special to people that we care about and love. And so he looked at that and he said, that relationship really turned him on, that somebody would do something like that. So he said, and I hope also I can be as good a friend as you, the lawyer, was to Red Stevens in his life. So he really got the idea of what is friendship. What is friendship? Fourth assignment was the gift of learning. And in the video, Red said commencement exercise, because Jason had gone to college. Of course, he spoiled Red, his great uncle or whatever the relationship had paid for. Yeah, I mean, whoever the money went through, somebody else, another family member, but it all came from the great uncle, had definitely given him the Ivy League education or wherever it was. And so he had gone through that. But he said the gift of learning, commencement, and that's when we graduate, right? Our commencement exercise means you're just commencing on your real, true learning in life. Life, when lived on your own terms, is the ultimate teacher. So Jason was going to be sent to a place of great learning, and after a month explained to the lawyer the fundamental key to all learning, education, and knowledge. So he was kind of marveled at that. So what had happened, that they met at the airport the next day, flew down to South America, and he went to a distant village and walked down a dirt street to a one-room building, and it was named after Red Stevens Library. For the next 4 weeks, he was to be the librarian's assistant. But when he looked around in the library, he noticed that there were only a handful of books, mostly empty shelves. At the end of the month, Jason said, well, I don't know what was there to learn here. The only thing that he found out was that people would get up hours before daylight, walk miles to get a tattered old book. So it was basically the desire and hunger for education was the key to real learning. The fifth assignment was the gift of problems. Problems, struggles, and obstacles are important in life. Next month, find a child, a young adult, a grown adult, an elderly, you're all dealing with profound problems. Describe the benefit or lesson derived from each experience to the lawyer. When we can learn from our own problems, we begin to deal with life. When we can learn from other people's problems, we begin to master life. I love that quote. I love that quote. I love that quote. That one you guys all need to highlight because that is so critical in our everyday life. There was a little girl in the park, so he went out and he found a little girl in the park dying of cancer. Her wish was to have a day in the park. He met her and she played with him for hours. She had a nurse there that was watching her. Finally, when she was exhausted, her nurse helped her into the wheelchair because she could no longer even walk. She was so exhausted from all the play. And as they were wheeling away, she said to Jason, she said, "I'm going to make a request for you to have a day in the park." And so notice her emphasis was not on herself. It was all about Jason. A middle-aged man doing odd jobs in the neighborhood. He and his wife had both lost their jobs with three young children at home, and he was doing what he could to make ends meet. So Jason let him wash some windows or something like that, or wash the windows of his car. I think that's how they met. And in conversing with Jason, he said, how much he and his wife were learning from their experience they were going through. He felt he was the luckiest man on the earth and wouldn't trade places with anyone. Notice the disposition of a man who's out washing windows on cars in the street because the two of them just lost their jobs. What an incredible disposition to have. The third person he talked about was he went to a cemetery. He was walking by a cemetery one day, and he saw this gigantic procession of people. I mean, it was like he thought it was a movie star had died or something. So he proceeded to walk into the cemetery. All the procession was leaving because the funeral was over, the burial was over. And there was one old man next to the grave. And he went over to the grave, and he kind of said to the man, he said, "Gosh, did a celebrity die here?" And the old man looked at him and he says, "Yes, she was a celebrity, and I lived with her for 60 great years." And so, again, Jason immediately realized this was the guy's wife, and he told the man how sorry he was for her death. And the old man laughed. He laughed because he said, "You know, life will be different from this day forward, but no one on the face of the earth ever had a bad day with my wife in their life." And so he came from a sense of joy. Notwithstanding all the grief that he'd been through, he knew this woman had cast so much joy on this earth. What was his focus, right? And then he found a young person, and the young person he chose was none other than himself. He had lived his whole life selfish, self-centered, never realized real people have real problems. Meeting all these people, he said, this meant a lot to him. Joy comes not from avoiding problems, rather overcoming them or simply learning to live with them. And that was his discovery on this assignment. The sixth assignment was the gift of family. Family give us roots in our heritage and our past. They also give us a springboard to our future. Nothing in the world is greater than the bond that can be formed by a family. And he said, if you're left without a family, much like Jason was, Jason really had not much of a family, you need to go and create it. So go on ventures with the lawyer to meet people who seem to have no family. So the lawyer took Jason up to Maine and dropped him off at the Red Stevens. Notice how all these homes and libraries are named after Red Stevens. He was a billionaire and did a lot of great things. A home for boys, where Jason became a substitute house parent for the next month. So he became a house parent at a home for boys up in Maine. There are 36 boys there. They were aged 6 to 16. When he first arrived, they all hugged on him, and he thought that was kind of peculiar because they didn't even know who he was. When he left, he made the comment, "Not one of those boys has a family, but each of them knew more about family than I do. It is not about blood, rather relating through love." And that was his sixth lesson. The seventh assignment was the gift of laughter. It's about you being able to look at your life, yourself, your problems, and just laugh. You can laugh in the face of adversity. The assignment was to find one person facing a lot of adversity but is able to laugh. And Jason, when the 30 days were up, when he went back to the lawyer's office, he brought a man named David with him, who he had met on a commuter train. And David was sitting on a magazine in the commuter train. And the reason he did that is because the chairs were many times very dirty on these commuter trains, so he'd sit on the newspaper to make sure his pants didn't get dirty. When someone came up and asked him whether or not he was reading the newspaper, he would stand up, turn the page on the newspaper, and then sit back down on it and say, "Yes, sir, but I'll be done before long." And everybody would laugh. I mean, he'd crack up the whole commuter train. David had lost his sight early in his life, went through many, many struggles, hardships. And he had determined it's a choice whether to laugh or cry. And when he went to the lawyer's office, what was real cute in the story was the lawyer was there, and he said to the lawyer, as he was leaving the room, and they had this great discussion, and he made a couple other jokes, as he left, got up and left, he said, well, thank you for the nice day. And by the way, as he's talking to the lawyer, he says, and by the way, I really like your tie. And, of course, everybody started, David had no eyesight, right? So in the face of adversity in his life, he could crack jokes and have fun. And that was hugely a gift of laughter. The eighth assignment was the gift of dreams. And in the video that he sat down and watched with his then dead great-uncle, his uncle said, dreams are the essence of life, not as it is, but as it can be. Your dreams must be yours. They must grow and expand. Spend the month listing all the things you would like to do, be, have in your life. Then prioritize and pick the ones that create the greatest passion in you. And when Jason was done with his exercise, he concluded that he decided he wanted to help deprived young people live a great life. Do what his uncle, his great uncle, is doing for him right now in learning the power and passion and the values to make their life worth living. That was his conclusion. So you can tell by the eighth assignment, the eighth month, the lawyer knew that Jason was really getting it, wasn't he? He was really getting this. The ninth assignment was the gift of giving. Jason's countenance was incredibly different from day one already. But at the lawyer's office, it's, you know, they're teaching about the gift of giving. Paradoxical is the fact that the more you give, the more you will have. Abundance creates the ability to give, and giving creates more abundance. One key principle of giving is the gift must be yours to give. So the great uncle says, it can't be something I gave you. It has to be something of you, maybe something simply a part of you. The assignment is to give a gift every day for 30 straight days. So this confused Jason immediately because all he could think about was giving away things that he had, things, stuff. But the minute he got into the behavioral pattern, he realized that that's really not the essence of giving. So he started out giving a parking space away. When somebody else was looking for a parking space, he beeped and he let him have his parking space. He shared an umbrella in the rain. He took his neighbor's kids to school one day. He jump-started a guy's car. He allowed a foreign exchange student to stay at his house. He spent a couple days working for Habit for Humanity. I mean, he had more joy than ever could be repaid in that 1 month of giving every single day. And he never gave anything away that he had because everything he had was from his great uncle. It was just his time, his love, his sharing, his caring is what he ended up giving away on a daily basis, looking out for other people's interests ahead of his own. Huge, huge lesson. The 10th assignment was the gift of gratitude because Jason also had no gratitude in his life. His great uncle had met a man in the past that had told him of the legacy of the Golden List. Every night, write down 10 things he's especially thankful for. And we've seen this in many books out there. I've read it in many different books where they talk about the last thing you do at night is you write down a list of things you're grateful. Be thankful. And that's the same thing we do when we pray before we go to bed. We thank God for the day he gave us. And I remember that example because I remember the hardest day of my life for me to do that was the day my brother was shot and killed by his wife. And yet I was still able to pray to the Lord and thank him for the day he gave me. But this gift of gratitude, so he had to come up with a golden list. So every day he's writing down things, and he had to come up with his 10 final list, his most important things he's thankful for by the time he got back to the lawyer. So he'd come up with 10 every night, and he'd sift through them and improve on them. And by the 30th day when he went back to the lawyer to meet with the lawyer, he listed his 10 was his health, his youth, his home, his friends, education, travel, car, family, money, and all the steps leading up to the ultimate gift. In other words, the lessons that he had learned through the last 10 months were one of the things he was most grateful for. The 11th assignment was like 11 months. Now we're into 11 months. We're only 2 months away from the ultimate gift. He gave him the gift of a day. At some point in life, we're going to have one last day left. How would you spend that last day? What would you do? If somebody told you only a one day left in your life, what would you do? If you get that picture in your mind of maximizing one day, you'll have mastered the essence of living. Life is only made up of a series of days. So the assignment was to come up with a plan on how you would live the last day of your life. Why should we wait till the last day of our life to begin living the maximum day? That is the big question. And the statements were made that the younger you are when you begin this kind of exercise, the more quality you'll have in life because you'll start living a fuller life every day. So that gave me the idea to do the gift of a day exercise with my grandkids, right? To help build more quality into their lives. So what did Jason come up with at the end of his month? His last day was, it was well written out and expansive, but here's a short version of it. He wanted to spend it with all the people who are special to him. Tell them how much he appreciated them, thanking them, calling all of his relatives, enjoying the things he most liked to do, like walking in the park and the things that really were just a total turn on. And at the end of the day, he wanted to have a gigantic banquet celebrating all the incredible principles that he had learned over the last 11 months and make sure it's videotaped so that it lived on forever as a legacy after he was gone. And the final assignment, the 12th assignment on the 12th month, was the gift of love. It encompasses all other gifts as well as everything good you'll ever do, have, know in your life is the gift of love. The assignment is to explore how love is involved in all the other gifts. So he had to look back at each of the other 11 gifts and see how love was involved in each one. And he definitely came to the conclusion right out of the bat, I am not the same person I was 12 months ago. I am not the same person I was 12 months ago. Gus loved me enough to make sure that in his thing of work, Gus, the guy who worked out the ranch with him, loved me enough to make sure I learned the lesson of work. A certain amount of love comes from doing a job well, right? He learned that as well in love. A certain amount of love comes from doing a job well, so you take pride in the job you do. Loving money brings emptiness. You can love friends like never before, and it takes emphasis off of you. People who love learning are really quite wealthy. Obstacles are merely challenges, and looking at problems through a spirit of love, you realize the problem makes you a better person. Families are present when love is present without bloodlines needed. In order to love life, you have to enjoy it. In other words, laugh, have fun, enjoy life to love life. Our passion and goals are the outward manifestations of the love we feel. When you give out of love, both the giver and the receiver have more than they started with. Gratitude comes from experience of love, remembering all the wonderful things we have been given. The gift of a day reveals choosing to experience as much love as possible and pass it on as well. And the quote I took out of there was, my great uncle's love for me and giving me the ultimate gift forever changed the life, my life, and who I am. That was his 12-month realization, capturing all of the gifts that he had been given. The ultimate gift, so he still didn't know what the ultimate gift was, but he already had the ultimate gift, right? The ultimate gift was the person he had become over the 12 months. But that wasn't all that Jason got, because when he accomplished these tasks and the lawyer said, you truly have accomplished the tasks your great uncle set out for you. So here's what's in his will. He gave his great nephew the directorship of the charitable trust that he had formed over his life, and it had over $1 billion in it, which was to be supportive of the library, the boys' club, all the great things that he had done in his life and helping others achieve that. And that was the gift, that was his final bequest he got from his uncle throughout, his ultimate gift, which was just how it totally changed his life, those 12 months of experiences. So in the end, life lived to its fullest is truly its own ultimate gift. What a terrific book. What a terrific book. And it's something I want to share, like I said, with my grandkids, with people in my life forever. I was amazed at this book. I thought it really captured so many things, truly, I believe in from start to finish. And I just think it would, this outline today just doesn't do it service. You need to read it yourself. You need to live it. You need to experience it and maybe go through some set of those experiences yourself on a 30-day basis, as this young man did. No matter what age we are, we all can grow and learn. And some of them I pointed out to myself that I want to go through that experience myself and work through a 30-day cycle on some of those aspects. So great, great book. hopefully it helps you. I know I didn't mention the word Manatech, but I guarantee you that all of these principles are so crucial for us to be the best we can be when we're out there doing Manatech as a business, because it's who you are and how you show up in people's lives that makes all the difference in the world. Not going out and overwhelming people with selling, but overwhelming people with love. And how can I help this person have a better life? Let me see the ways that I can impact their life and help them have a better life. And we do have a lot of ways of solutions through Manatech as a vehicle, but first and foremost, what do we always talk about with Manatech? Our job is to build relationship. And I believe love is at the core of every relationship, healthy relationship. Love is at the core. So go out there and build relationships. Any comments, questions? I know we got done a little early. Hopefully you enjoyed this. Hopefully you all go out and secure the book and pass it on. It's a great one. Anyone, any comments? Anyone on the call that may have read the book before, or any comments about something that was meaningful to you, if this struck you in any way, shape, or form?
Mary Jo, this is June.
Hi, June.
I read the book. I checked it out from the library because of our Book of the Month club.
Right.
Those quotes at the beginning of each chapter, those his quotes, or are they from him?
That's from, well, they might come from other sources, because I've read, some of them I recognized, but they're just core principles that have been used throughout the ages, right? So,
okay, I was going to put them on Facebook, and I didn't know if just put the ultimate gift or...
Yeah, you could just put the ultimate gift. That's what I would do, the ultimate gift. Yeah.
Okay.
Super. Yeah, they're great. And I didn't even put those in the outline. At the beginning of each chapter, he had a quote that he started the chapter off with. Right.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
That is such an awesome book that when one of my sons came home, he came home, who's not really all that big into reading books, he goes, "This is the best book. And I'm loaning it out to each of my friends. I'm going to have them put their name in the back. And then I want each of you, because this book will make a difference in your life."
Awesome. It does. I mean, I'm telling you, when you read it, you just have tears. I mean, it's just, you know, you get it. And you'll find where you need some work. And sometimes for some people it's going to be every chapter. For some people it might just be two or three of the chapters, whatever. But, yes, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Mary Jo, thank you so very, very much.
You're welcome.
I'm not only going to buy the book for myself, but for my grandchildren and my children.
Absolutely.
I just think it's amazing.
It is.
But thank you for sharing it with us.
You bet. You bet. It also gave me some ideas about, you know, what I'm going to do in my will, right? I mean, there's some great things here to be done. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there you can use this in an incredible way. So just think about that as well. What does that mean to you in terms of the legacy that you're going to leave? Right. Amen.
Mary Jo.
Uh-huh.
This is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
We own the video, the DVD. It is absolutely incredible. My kids are between 24 and 34 now. They don't watch it now, but they watched it over and over and over again growing up. And I have two that are not, they wouldn't read the book. I'm going to get the book, but I think that they wouldn't read the book because they prefer the video part. They're more visual.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not visual, but that sort of
medium. That's a medium they learn from better, that kind of medium. Yeah,
and
that's
so
great.
I didn't even know.
I didn't even know there was a DVD out there.
Oh
yeah, it was made into a movie. That's right. I was told it was made into a movie. Correct.
It does not have all the examples in each of the areas, but it does have the 12 gifts.
Anyway, yeah.
It really is worthwhile, even if you have kids that are a little bit younger that aren't ready to, you know, tackle a book like that. It's still really a very interesting book.
Wonderful.
Video.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I don't know how you read this book or watch the video without it changing your life. That's the power of this book.
We have our pastor borrowed it from me just a couple weeks ago. He brought it back. He has a, must be a 9 and 11-year-old, and they just absolutely loved it.
Yeah, great. Super. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Good. Anyone else? Great. So look, at a lot of you have already been exposed to it. Some of you have never been exposed to it. I had never read it before, so it was my first exposure, not to Jim Stovall, because I'd read some of his other books, and he's terrific. But what a phenomenal, I mean, really, that the issues and the concepts he touches upon are just things that need to be core principles in our life. Every day we live, we breathe, and what a life we'll create, what a world we'd create. Wow. I mean, let's go make a difference. That's my thing. Let's go make a difference. Let's touch lives and make a difference. And this book and this video, audio and video can touch a lot of people's lives. So, you know, whatever that means to you and how you see it, how it fits in your life. And don't run from it, but, you know, because some of these things are tough. I know some of these principles for some people, they don't, you know, you're looking at it like, well, that's just, you know, that's X, Y, Z, or we make excuses or we do things. But the reality is that's what's keeping you stuck. And that's what's keeping life stuck for you. And it's like, you know, can you live life without developing all these principles in your life? Of course, you choose to live your life the way you want to. But these are just some of the most incredible core principles of how we need our beingness and what we need more of on this planet, not less of, right? And that's the beauty of it. So great lessons for everybody. So great. Thank you guys for being on the call. I'm glad you enjoyed it. A little different than what we normally do on the call, but I love to do book reviews, and this is one of my, it's going to go down in my history of one of my favorite books. And again, like I said, it's only 120 pages. It's not a tough book to tackle, but what a wonderful journey. And wouldn't it be neat? You know, I've been talking about the 7 mindsets, and I thought, wow, this would be an awesome little challenge around us in a school system. Could you imagine teaching this like in junior high or something like that? I mean, really? Think of the impact on the kids. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm surprised. Probably there's not people out there. I shouldn't say I'm surprised, because I'm sure there's some people out there that have tried to tackle something like this in the school system. But what a blessing that would be. The best education they would ever get. So anyway, thanks, everybody. Let's make this, remember, first week of a business period, let's go out there and make it happen. Come from love. Come from that setting. And, you know, that's the attractor factor you have in this world, is that love of heart in your heart that you have for people, and understanding that we all come up against adversities. And it's how we handle it. It's not whether or not you're going to have them. It's how we tackle them that makes all the difference in how we get through this life. So love you guys. Talk to you next week. Thanks, everyone.